This is the Game On TV podcast on GameOnTV.com.au.
Hi, and welcome to the Game On TV podcast. I'm Tim.
I am Jason.
And we're back again. Episode
22.
23.
Yeah, it's 23. There you go. It's morning.
It's something.
Yeah, we're doing this on a Friday morning. I'm not used to being awake at this hour. Hey, do you want to know what really stinks in the morning?
I don't, actually.
City really does not smell good in the morning.
And by city, you're referring to?
To the delightful town of Sydney.
Oh, right. I thought it was an analogy for something.
Yeah, no, it's not a euphemism. It was straight up, this city did not smell good in the morning. I'm not used to being here before, say, noon.
That's true. You do like a sleep in. I actually, for the last four months?
Yeah.
However long I've been here in the city.
Yeah.
I've been catching public transport into work.
Yeah.
And I'm not used to that. I'm used to my own car, and so the poor car just sort of sits in the garage, does very little.
Yeah.
But you talk about smelly.
Yeah.
Trains in the morning.
Yeah, trains aren't so good.
Oh.
And you're in for a treat because we're heading into summer, and it just gets worse.
Are we heading into summer? It's been so cold here in Sydney. It's raining. I feel like I'm still wearing winter clothes.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, this is the Game On TV weather podcast. thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Yes. We have had such a massive, massive, massive crazy week.
It's been a huge week.
For games.
For games and actually movies and stuff like that as well. So we've got a lot to get through. Shall we jump into it?
Let's do it. The big one, obviously, was Battlefield 3 last week.
Came out, yes. You've played it?
Of course.
Yeah.
I got right into it. I mean, everybody knows that I'm a Modern Warfare 3 fan.
Yeah.
I've never been a massive Battlefield fan from day one. I've always enjoyed the idea of it.
Yep.
But I've never been any good at it.
Yeah.
Battlefield 3, I'm actually okay.
Oh yeah,
I'm not too bad. I've ranked up. I've unlocked things. I think it makes it a lot easier once you start unlocking things in your guns.
Do you think that have they changed? Like, is it feeling a lot more like Modern Warfare? Like, do you think they've changed their control scheme to make it, you know, to get people like you from Modern Warfare?
Well, again, I've only ever played the Battlefields as a multiplayer game. Did they have a single story prior to this?
Not really.
Right.
No, and I don't think they really care much for it, which is why it's on the second disc for the Xbox.
But the thing is the single story game is, I thought, was great.
Really?
But it's not as good as Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
And it's not as good as their story.
I've been hearing a lot of bad stuff about the story modes.
Yeah, look, it's not great. It feels like it's the little brother.
Yeah.
Or the little cousin.
Yeah.
Twice removed from the Modern Warfare series.
Yeah.
But it still feels like, I mean, you know, the textures on the players are good. The storyline's kind of fun. The thing that I find really interesting is all the maps are pretty much identical to the maps that we're going to play in Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, right.
There is a map in France. There is a map in the undergrounds of London, you know, the metro system. And you're sort of sitting there going, this is almost creepy, sort of, oh, did you guys read each other's briefs and you just decided to go and do the exact same game?
Yeah.
In saying that, I find, graphically it's amazing. It's, you know, it's the textures look good. We were trying to figure out whether there is an upgrade to the Xbox, and I'll say no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It does upgrade, but it upgrades to the PlayStation 3 graphics.
Yes.
So it doesn't actually go further and make it PC.
And there's a few videos online of a comparison, and basically, if you play it at Xbox Res, if you don't install it, it does look pretty
terrible,
pretty pants. Yeah,
yeah. I actually saw a very, very, very funny thing on YouTube where it was they had the PC and the PlayStation 3 version back to back.
Yeah,
and I really should stick it up on the site because it's hilarious. It's it runs the titles the same way the titles run, but when it actually gets in the gameplay, you know, you see the PC version of the plane flying around, and on the split screen on the other side of the page, you see 1982 graphics of Afterburner flying through, and you know, Commando and Rush Hour, and all that sort of stuff.
That's
and it's
cool.
Really funny. And it's like, you know, this is the PC version, this is the PlayStation version. It's really not that bad. I think Battlefield, as far as the game goes, very enjoyable. It's much more strategic than, say, Call of Duty. But in saying that, I don't know. I'm sort of torn. I'm obviously Modern Warfare 3, I think, is a better game.
Yep.
But that's not to say they're a bad, you know, it's all bad stuff. One of the things I love doing in Battlefield 3 is flying a plane, a jet plane, you know, trying to shoot people down. And when I'm about to die, just fly as high as I can until you're about to leave the stratosphere and then eject. And then as you fall to the ground, your arms are just waving around and you get you can press your parachute.
Right.
And then you'll pull out your gun and you can start shooting people as you start dropping down towards the earth, which I actually kind of like because you come in really hard and fast.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. But you don't have to. You can also go splat if you feel the
urge.
But look, Battlefield full of unlocks and codes and things. I'm finding the game very enjoyable. I think it's certainly it's a big title. I don't think it has to compete with Modern Warfare 3, but it does. I mean, they get released 2 weeks in between each other every year.
Yeah, and
that's kind of the thing.
A lot of their push has been trying to undermine Modern Warfare. A lot of their advertising, especially the early advertising, was to try and undermine what Modern Warfare 3 have been doing.
To surmise, and we'll talk about Modern Warfare 3 next week because that's when it comes out.
Yeah.
But to surmise the experience, I would say Battlefield 3 is great if you want to play team matches over massive maps.
Yeah.
The maps are really quite large. I mean, large enough to fly planes in, right?
Yeah.
So pretty large. And it's very strategic.
Right.
Whereas Modern Warfare is far more arcadey and I think a lot more fun.
Yeah.
So, and a lot more responsive. Like if you do a melee attack in Modern Warfare, you quickly do a melee attack and you keep moving. Whereas in Battlefield, you kind of go into a full animated sequence and you start, you know, ripping off the dog tags and doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is great. It looks fantastic. But whilst you have a 5 second moment, you're getting shot and you can die during that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a, you know, it's like, I just want to melee and keep rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
Also, I find that they've got different plays. Like there's now Team Deathmatch, which they have in there.
Yep.
To make it more like Modern Warfare, smaller maps with just running around and killing people and stuff like that.
Yep.
You know, but it's, to me, I just think the arcadiness of Modern Warfare 3 is, and just the gameplay is a lot higher. So look, I am saying totally a game on for Battlefield 3.
Right.
I do really like it, which I didn't think I'd actually say. I thought I'd be like, meh. What I didn't like was this week, EA's servers went down for the Xbox.
Yeah, I heard.
And, and that was the one night that I could really get on and play. That was the night that I was going to go, you know what? I'm just going to play Battlefield 3 tonight.
Yeah.
And I just could not get on. And eventually I got on playing some sort of mode that I didn't want to play, but I was in there and I was shooting things and ranking up and stuff. So that was my Battlefield 3 experience. I really enjoy it. We have two copies of the Hardened Edition, which has Elite, being sent out to us for Modern Warfare 3. So you're going to get your hands on the full DLC version of it.
Very nice.
Well, I'll see you online for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do want to play us online or play me online, you can check me out, Terminator_Timo for the PSN.
Yeah.
And Terminator Timo with no underscore for the Xbox. You befriend me and we'll play a bit of gaming online. We'll see how you go.
Yeah, I'm just Jay Cruz.
Yeah, you are.
Small J, big C.
Big C.
R-E-W-E-S.
I hear that about you.
Yeah, yeah.
Big, massive C.
Yeah, look, I said I wasn't going to play Battlefield because, you know, it is such a devoted online multiplayer game. And as I've said, I'm not a huge fan for that. I'm actually interested now in checking it out because the reviews that I've heard, you know, initial reviews have been coming out and they've been giving it like 90%.
Yeah.
And they've been going, but the story mode is rubbish. So, you know, because I think we've had this discussion before where I said that Modern Warfare, the story mode is great. Like, for me, Modern Warfare is good enough just with the story mode, if a little short.
Yeah.
So I'm interested now to play the Battlefield story mode to see if it is as bad as people are saying, or whether it does, you know, justify itself as a game.
Yeah, it does. Look, it totally does. And I think people who are saying that are people who aren't open to playing. I mean, have they played the single player? Maybe they've never stuck that disc in.
No, they have. Yeah, no, that's the thing.
It's the thing. I was playing it, and it is, like I said, the textures on all the people look great.
Yeah.
Storyline, it feels like any other first person shooter. You know, you're running through and cities and blowing stuff up. You know, graphically it looks great. It's nothing revolutionary.
Well, I'll jump into it this week and get back to you next week on my opinion.
The other thing is, if you play online, if you play multiplayer co-op, there's a lot of co-op, and I've jumped on co-op a couple of times, and you get in there and you end up playing with people who just either A, don't know what they're doing, or B, don't want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So you can never actually unlock the rewards. And the rewards are if you play co-op with people online, or if you play with a friend, at least you know what you're doing. You can talk to each other. Yep. But you unlock different weapons, which you can then take into the multiplayer.
Yeah, right.
So I'm trying to unlock these things. And we've obviously some kid who's like gets in a helicopter and then just flies into the side of a mountain. And you're like, what are you doing? And then you load up again. And then he runs off the map. And then you die because your partner left the map. And you're like, oh. So it's just, there's a little bit of frustration with playing those sort of online people.
Yeah.
You know, it feels basically like they're trolling. So,
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Battlefield 3, I enjoyed it. And I think it's definitely worthwhile playing. But if it was one or the other, Modern Warfare 3 all the way.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that next week when we get it.
Yeah. So the big news for me this week, of course, was that the Nightwing DLC came out for Arkham City. I jumped on and paid for it before finding out that we could get it for free. So, so it's actually interesting. I can come at it from the perspective of, is it worth paying for? And look, I would say it's not really worth paying for, because it's really only, you get no story modes with him. It's really only for your Riddler challenges.
Oh, right. So you can't actually play in the game. It's just... Yeah. That's terrible.
You can't even use him as a skin for Batman. It is just the Riddler challenges. And so far, I mean, the Riddler challenges are kind of interesting, but you spend so much time playing the story mode with this game. The Riddler stuff is kind of bonus.
I wanted to see Nightwing run around the city.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's what you want. In fact, there's quite a vocal group online who are pushing for including Nightwing and Robin as playable characters. I suspect somewhere down the line we're going to get some DLC, which is going to be a little bit of story mode. I think almost certainly if you've played Arkham City, and I'm going to do a mild spoiler here. so if you haven't got this far, if you haven't got as far as Robin in Arkham City, you might want to jump ahead about a minute or so. But if you've got as far as Robin in Arkham City, you know that he goes off on an errand for Batman. Batman gives him a sample of blood and says, I need you to go and do this.
And he asks, whose blood is it?
Oops, yes.
Sorry.
Yes. And so the thing is that I suspect what we're going to get is a playable mission for Robin traversing Arkham City to get that blood to Alfred.
I disagree. I think you are hoping... I don't think you're going to get a thing. I think that they've just, from what it sounds like, they've just made a skin.
Yeah.
And for the Riddler theme, because it's easy. You just put in that little section and that's your Nightwing version.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're going to go that much into it because they've made their money. Why are they going to go back into the story and spend time develop it for the fans?
Because DLC. They get money from DLC and they get quite a packet of money from DLC.
But they already got your money.
Well, no, they got my money for Nightwing.
Right.
You know, this is the thing is they can just release new missions and stuff like this.
Sure, sure. How much did you pay for Nightwing?
320 points.
Oh, God, what's that mean?
Not much, actually. 320 points is about $4 or something. Yeah, yeah, I mean, actually, no, that's a lie. I think it's $8.95 for 500 points.
Right.
So it's probably about $6 or something.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Yeah. I mean, he's a good-looking character.
He's a good... Look, the character model's pretty great. I didn't really like the animated version of him. It's a little too cartoony to be playing in the thing. He's got enough changes. I mean, it, in a similar way that Catwoman was a lot of fun to play, but she just felt like Batman Light.
Yeah, totally.
You know, totally. Nightwing feels like Batman Light. You know, there's a couple of things that are pretty great. You know, his sticks are a lot of fun to play.
Yep.
But once you get past that, once you get past the initial thing of, oh, this is Nightwing, it's really cool, it's then just playing the Riddler challenges, which, you know, I haven't even done a lot of them with Batman or Catwoman. So, at this point, I would say... Don't really bother. If at a later date they release a whole bunch of DLC inclusive, then it's probably worth checking out.
Fair enough. Well, if you like sort of beat 'em ups, running around and beating up stuff, the RPG game came out a couple of days ago from Warner Brothers, same guys who did Arkham City, or at least released it, and that's the Lord of the Rings: War in the North.
Yes.
Which you have a copy. You haven't played it yet.
No.
But it's sitting here. Remind me to give that to you.
That would be nice.
But I had a go of it last night, and it's surprisingly good.
Really?
Like, I was pantsing this game from day one. I was like going, oh man, do we need another Lord of the Rings game? And you know, it's a three-player co-op.
Right.
You can play it single player and swap between characters, or you can jump online with two or three of your friends and go as a band together. It's basically a weird thing. You start off the game by going to the Prancing Pony.
Mornings, I'm telling you.
You go somewhere. But the town of Bree, where we find Strader, for the first time. You know, and you walk in there and you speak to Strider, and you know how, you know, Samwise is always Strider. You speak to him. He's, you know, Aragorn basically. He's sitting in the corner and he's like, "Yes, I'm really, this is in great danger. You must go to the north.
Yeah.
You must go to the north and protect us from the, you know, keep the eye fixed on you. Why this hobbit comes through. I'm expecting a hobbit. I've been searching high and low for him. And I really need to find this hobbit. He's in great danger and the whole world is doomed if we don't find this hobbit."
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're sitting in a bar smoking a pipe going, "The world's going to die if we don't find this hobbit, but I'm just going to sit here and wait for him to maybe walk in the door."
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I did. Yeah. it made me laugh because he kept saying it. He kept like, "It's the most important thing we do is we find this hobbit and we must find him." And I'm like, he's sitting there with a pipe drinking his beer.
Like, as he's saying hobbit, does he sort of go, "We have to find this hobbit in cinemas 2013. We really need to find this hobbit in cinemas 2013. Sort of cross-promotion thing.
Hey, look, it should. It should sort of, yeah. Speaking of which, Frodo Baggins has been seen...
Right.
On the shots, he's been taking photos of, in the new Hobbit movie, Frodo's been hanging out in Hobbiton.
Frodo?
Frodo, as in Elijah Wood, with his big feet on.
With his big feet?
With his big feet, my friend.
It must be just a little guesty.
Something's going on. It's
That's a bit weird.
Is it? I don't know what's going on. Wasn't it before his time?
It kind of was.
Oh, I think somebody's on drugs.
Unless they're going to try and make him, you know, young Bilbo.
I wonder, maybe he's doing a Riddler challenge.
He could be, yeah.
He's just DLC for the Hobbit. I don't know, but Elijah Wood is certainly on set,
right,
getting shot, doing stuff.
That's crazy.
So
War of the North, you're enjoying it so far?
Yeah, look, it reminds me a lot of Dragon Age.
Okay,
so you get to talk to people, you get to choose your questions and your answers and what have you, and then you move on and you basically beat them up. You smash, you know, orcs up and fight, and then you collect collectibles, and then you upgrade your armor and you upgrade your, and it's, I'm sitting here going, it's kind of cool. I'm kind of digging it, and I did not think I would. So if you're a fan of Dragon Age, which I know you are, and I was playing this last night going, oh man, you're gonna love this.
It is, and
it looks good. The game looks good. Issues that I have, the sections that you fight in, apart from the graphically looking really nice, they're very short. So there's a lot of loading time in between things. I've installed it onto the Xbox, so it's a lot faster, but it feels to sort of start and stop. You get little processes and you fight this little section and you get to the next little section and so on and so forth. I would have liked to have seen it just sort of continue and flow, but you know, in saying that, the loading time with the install is quite quick. And it sort of doesn't hang too much, but that was my surprise game of the week. And I thought I was gonna hate it, and I'm actually really enjoying it. I think you'll really enjoy it too. So maybe we can talk about that a bit more next week, or maybe online. So Lord of the Ring, War in the... Lord of the Wing. Lord of the Rings, War in the North.
I jumped on this week, played a little bit of Need for Speed The Run.
The Runs. So that's been released.
No, it hasn't. No, but there is a demo which is currently on the XBLA.
Did it give you the runs?
It didn't give me the runs. Just two maps you get to race through.
Yeah.
You don't really get a good feel for the concept. I think we've talked about it before. I'm really looking forward to Need for Speed The Run.
Yeah.
Because I really love it's almost a Cannonball Run-esque style of game. You don't fully get the feel for it in the two maps that you get to play in the demo that's available online, but you do get to race through what's probably going to be a one-off map. You know, it's kind of like they're shooting their load with this one map, but you are racing through a snowy canyon as an avalanche is going on, and you're basically, there are rocks falling, you know, your terrain is constantly changing, and you're racing one other guy. It's great. Looks great. The graphics are fantastic. I'm pretty excited. It's done exactly what one of those demos should do, which is really whet the appetite to make you want to play it. And the great thing I like about it is it's available now, you know, 2 weeks before the game itself is available, which is, I think that's kind of the good thing about a demo, is put it out, get people excited about the game.
And then sell it to them.
Yeah.
Look, I think EA's got some great titles. I mean, they're going to have, you know, I mean, obviously next week's going to be a massive week for Modern Warfare 3. They're competitors, but I think EA have got some good stuff. You know, Battlefield 3 is a massive game, and as long as their servers hold up.
Yeah.
That's that looks good. I'm interested in having a go at that. I'm not a huge Need for Speed fan because I just think there are better driving sims out there. But
yeah.
But I am actually a little bit excited about this particular game. But it's really hard to be excited about any driving game after the announcement and the trailer of GTA 5.
GTA 5. Now, this is the big launch thing here. Just announced conspicuously a week before the release of Saints Row the Third.
Yeah.
You know, please please ignore that. Don't spend your money on that. Come and buy our game in a year's time. No official release date set for that, but does look great. And the great thing is it's back in San Andreas.
I know.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited by
that. By San Andreas, you mean Los Angeles, right?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes. In Vinewood.
In Vinewood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's looking a hell of a lot more Los Angeles this time around.
There's a shot in there that it's almost textured from Venice Beach.
Yeah. Yes. Like, absolutely, yeah.
I'm like looking at it going, wow, I've been on that corner. Yeah. I'm out of that corner, which is not necessarily a positive thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, it's I'm excited.
It looks very exciting.
Yeah.
It's being done apparently with the id Tech 5 engine, which is why it's looking so sexy.
Right.
Yeah, it's
one of the
first games to be implementing that. So yeah.
Well, all the I didn't know that. All the in-game graphics they blew me away.
Yeah.
So I'm massively excited.
Yeah.
For GTA 5, and that was it's just been such a massive week for games.
Yeah.
You know, and they released Sports Connect Season 2.
Yes.
That came out. Did you get a chance to have a play of that?
Well, no, I didn't. No. I still haven't got myself a Kinect.
No, but you had the game.
I do have the game, yeah.
Just don't have the Kinect.
It's twisting my arm.
I had a go of it this morning, honest. Xbox.
Yeah.
And then the thing turns up.
Yeah.
And you go, Kinect Sport 2.
Yeah.
Season 2. Xbox.
Yeah.
Kinect Sport Season 2.
Yeah.
Screw it.
And then his Xbox go, Timothy, I don't have voice compatibility till mid-December.
It's not Siri. No. The voice compatibility worked.
Yeah, all right.
And it worked pretty much, I'd say, 80% of the time.
Yep.
But there was a couple of times I felt like a fool. Because it was like saying, you can't actually move forward. It says, talk to the Xbox.
Yeah.
So you can't do any hand gestures to get it working. You can't use a control stick to get it working. It's saying you must talk to the Xbox because it wants you to start getting used to talking to the Xbox.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you must talk to the Xbox to get this on. So it's say Xbox and it listens.
Yeah.
And so I was playing the football game, the gridiron game, which was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of this game. It's, you talk to it. You actually say what type of play you want. You say I want, deep impact or whatever the hell it is. And then it comes up with that. And then you crouch down in the position and you go ready, hike.
Yeah.
And the ball gets thrown to you and you put your arm up and then you choose which way you want to throw it and you throw your arm. And then your person catches it. And it's not really responsive when you get it into defense. I mean, in defense, when you're playing the single player, you don't even get to play defense. You are just the offensive team.
Oh, really?
So you never get to play. You just watch like a simulation with arrows on a map saying, okay, your other team ran here and then your other team ran here and then they kicked for a field goal.
Yeah,
now it's your turn again. And it's like, so that was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
But the game, it feels to me like it's what the Wii should be.
Okay.
It's the new level of where the Wii's at or where the Wii should be at. And if you like that type of fun games to play, family-orientated games to play, then this game is certainly a must. It has darts.
All right.
Which is a bit of fun.
Yeah.
You know, we have bowling in the other one.
Yeah.
We have golf, of course.
Lovely.
So there's a couple of different games to play there, and because it's all voice recognition, it's a new level of gameplay, really. And look, very enjoyable, and it's certainly one if you have friends over and having a bit of a party and you feel like going Kinect. So that's just been released, and I think it's only like $59 or something. So it's,
the Kinect games are pretty inexpensive lately.
Yeah. Well, I mean they're just fun games. I mean, I call them disposable games because they're not. It's not like you're playing any of these big sort of Battlefield sort of games.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're just fun, but it's what the Wii was.
Demo online, actually, for the Kinect only. Deepak Chopra's Leela There's a demo for that currently on the Xbox Marketplace. So if you've got a Kinect, check it out. Little meditative experience.
Very nice.
See if you can learn about your chakras and your auras. Oh, glorious.
So you know what I think though. Out of everything, I mean, we've got a couple of that. There's another big launch this week as well.
Yeah.
You know, we had Uncharted 3.
Yes. And you went to the launch party.
It was a big lot of hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Played a bit of online, but it felt like it was too late.
Right.
You know, because it was kind of like, here's our game, doesn't it look amazing? And I'm like, yeah, but you haven't sent it to me to review. So
yeah,
my 3 minutes of watching you play and my 1 minute of getting online playing, at the night,
yeah,
was enough to go, okay, yeah, that's kind of fun. But, you know, don't show me half the story from, you know, scene 36 onwards. I don't want that. I want to, I play Uncharted and I want to just watch the story. So send me the game, let me play it, let me unfold, you know, and unlock the story, because it's like watching a movie.
Yeah.
Graphically, it looks amazing, yep. But what did you expect?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But the two things that I thought were really great about the night was I actually got to play the game on the PS Vita.
Oh, right.
And I'm telling you, that machine, I'm really glad I bought it. It's, if you imagine the PSP.
Yep.
It's pretty much like the PSP. The buttons are a lot smaller. It has dual joysticks, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you imagine the screen being almost like double the height, not the width, but the height.
Yes.
That is what the Vita is. So it's a lot bigger. It's almost square.
Yeah.
The screen. It's still slightly rectangle, but it's a lot bigger. And the touch screen at the front, touch screen at the back, and it looks like a PS3.
Yeah.
The graphics on it looks amazing. So PS Vita version of Uncharted, you know, Drake's. Whatever it is up to now.
Yeah,
you know,
Drake's Progress.
It's a different game. It's actually made by a different studio. It's not even made by Naughty
Dog.
Oh,
okay. So you're actually playing the specific one. You weren't actually playing Uncharted 3 on
no,
the Vita.
No, I was playing
right.
the Vita. So they,
yeah,
there
okay.
is they're different games made by different companies.
Yeah.
But the other thing I saw, which I thought was really interesting, was I had a go at the personal progressive 3D headset.
Okay.
But Sony are going, the guy that from Sony was there, he was saying, well, I don't even know if we're going to release it. Because at the moment they're released, or they got a price point in the UK at £800.
Yeah.
So what's that? You know, Australian dollar, I guess it'd be like, you know, $1,600, $1,700.
Yep.
So you're looking at that. $1,700 buys you a very fancy 3D television. Why would you want to stick one? You know, these little visors that make you look like Geordi out of Star Trek.
Yeah.
So the thing that I liked about it, though, and I put them on, apart from them incredibly comfortable to wear, the 3D uses a non-flicker 3D.
Oh, right.
So what it is that each eye has a unique picture.
Yep.
And it's a clear, high-definition picture for each eye.
Yeah.
And the 3D in the actual visor.
Yep.
Is the best 3D I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And so I sort of said to the guy, he said, well, what's your feedback? And I said, mate, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I think it's the best 3D I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I've got a 3D TV at home and this beats that for sure, without a doubt. My main issue is your price point. If you can get it for $800 Australian, so half the pound price, then you have something that you could sell. But you know, I can buy a 3D plasma television right now for $860. So it's you know, when that's your marketplace and you're competing with it. So I don't even know if they're going to release them. But
it's kind of interesting though, because it's the notion of, you know, maybe if it was a grand. Like, you know, let's say it comes out in Australia for a grand. The notion of being able to watch 3D TV in bed next to someone else who's trying to sleep, that's huge.
And the other thing, it's not backlit, so it doesn't hurt your eyes. So it's this bright thing in your face. It's kind of lit in a special way.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing technology. Yeah. And look, so my hat's off to Sony for that. I think they did a great job. But, you know, apparently the game's been sent to us. I know it's out in the shops. You guys have probably played it before I have.
Yeah.
So my response to that is that it looks like Naughty Dog have done a great job. They've obviously gone to a lot of detail. They've you know, the animation, they've gone out and shot a whole heap of, you know, sand coming off feet and things like that. And they've emulated that. They've actually created an ocean that rocks and it's a real ocean. It's not just like motion capture stuff. They've actually created an engine ocean, which actually, you know, if it goes up, then your boat will tip this way. And it changes each time because it's generated through the engine.
Yeah.
technically great. That's all fine. Fantastic. Haven't had a chance to play it. Don't really know what to say apart from that. It looks like, you know, it looks like a great game. Looks like the guys.
Looks very pretty.
Well, it looks pretty, but I don't think it looks... It's not the prettiest game I've ever seen.
Oh, right.
So, you know, they're saying that this is the bee's knees. This is it.
Yeah.
Battlefield looks better.
Yeah, right.
You know, because that looks realistic, and you got the sun. I mean, Battlefield's amazing when you're fighting somebody on a hill.
Yeah.
And they have the sun behind you.
Yeah.
You can't see them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and the lighting in Battlefield was amazing because so you have to actually come around.
Yeah.
The side. So you're not looking directly at the sun.
That's great.
It's fantastic. So if you put a tactical light on your gun,
yeah,
right. For example, if you unlock the tactical light, you go, well, that's pretty stupid. You can see where they are because you see a big torch, and you go, okay, there's a guy there. But if you get shot in the face with that thing, you actually become disorientated. You can't see where you're shooting at, and you're dead. You're gone. So I mean, I think engine-wise, the Battlefield 3 engine is a lot better than the Drake's one, and they made a lot of hoo-ha. Sony made a lot of hoo-ha about this being the game.
Yeah,
and I thought it was a game. I thought it was a game. And I'm saying, I'm not saying fail to it.
Yeah.
But and you know, if you're a fan of the franchise, definitely check it out. But I haven't played it enough to get into it, and so we will see. The multiplayer looked like a bit of fun,
cool.
But it looked like I mean, the one thing I liked in the multiplayer is that they have 3-team deathmatch.
Yeah, right.
So you know, team deathmatch is usually 2 teams facing each other. We'll have 3 different team deathmatch is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So that was all pretty cool.
Something else I would like to talk about. You tweeted about this the other day. You're playing on your iPad, Modern Combat 3.
Unbelievable.
Now, this I jumped online and had a look, and it's available also for your iPhone. Something interesting that I did notice for iPhone and iPad is that you can play it on your Apple TV using your device as a controller, which is one of the big things that Vita is talking about that they're going to be able to do, and the Wii U is talking about that they're going to be able to do. Apple have already done it. So,
there you go.
So talk to me about Modern Combat 3.
Well, that was next on my list.
That's good.
of games. Look, for $7 or $7.95 or whatever it is at
$7.99,
the moment,
it is
amazing. It's a 2 gig install.
Yep.
It's a 1.3 gig download.
Yep.
It is the best looking iPad game, especially if you're a shooter fan.
Yep.
Doesn't get better than this. The multiplayer online is sensational. You have all these maps, plays just like Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say 3, but certainly 2.
Yep.
You know, to the point where you can actually call in choppers, and you can call in your multiplayer, you can call in, you know, strike planes to come in and drop bombs. You can upgrade your weapons to like armor-piercing bullets and stuff like that. I mean, it's very cool. It's almost like that it has perks and things like that.
Yeah.
The sound mix is astonishing.
Really?
You know, you sit there and you listen to you through your stereo headphones, and it's just, it really takes you there. They've got great voice actors coming in. I mean, they've really stepped up. And, you know, for 2 gigs, I mean, that's pretty much what a PlayStation 2 really what some PlayStation 3 games are.
So
I think graphically it's amazing. It's set in Los Angeles, which is like my old hometown. So that's kind of fun. You're sort of walking through the hills, Hollywood Hills, and you know, getting into gunfights and stuff. It's great.
Right.
Look, if you are a shooter fan, then you probably already have this.
Yeah.
If you are sort of dabbling in it and you're kind of thinking about it, you know, check it out. It is by far the best looking first-person shooter on the market for iPad, and the multiplaying stuff and the online, and you can even play, you know, we've got a couple of guys in this office who, after they saw me, they went out and bought it, and we can actually play online little matches against each other. And it's a lot of fun, and the fact that it uses the gyroscopic movement of the iPad.
Yeah.
So you can move forward, back, left, right with your you know, your controller.
Yep.
But then you can also spin around your head just by moving your iPad. So you can sit in like a chair and spin around, and you spin around, you know.
It's quite
clever that it sort of has you building this almost virtual reality world.
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun. And for the price point, I don't think you can go wrong.
$7.99, and it's, by all accounts, it's as good on the iPhone. I haven't had a chance to actually download it before I left the house. But, it's only been out. It's been out for about a week.
Yeah, a week.
And already it's like 395 5-star reviews on the iTunes marketplace.
Yeah, it's
pretty
amazing.
Pretty much no bad ones.
Yeah,
so,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
So highly recommended if you're, especially if you're a shooter fan, you'll certainly get into that.
Yeah.
So that was a big one. Another game that came out today is GoldenEye Reloaded.
Yeah, actually broke Street Dates. That broke Street Date, and actually so did Uncharted in certain parts of Australia.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot of games, a lot of retailers just throwing caution to the wind.
Well, in saying that, I'm looking forward to it because next Tuesday's, or what is it, next Monday's my birthday.
Yes.
And that night at midnight, Modern Warfare 3 comes out.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping it breaks Street Date because I'm happy birthday to me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go out and get it if it does that. But GoldenEye Reloaded, we've only just been sent the copies, so they haven't arrived yet. But I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to giving this one a bell. I don't know if it's going to be any good.
It looks like a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the game used to be great. By all accounts, it wasn't so great on the Wii, but then that might have just been some limitations of the console itself.
Correct.
So it looks fun. It looks fun, and we've discussed about it. It's going to be the same thing with Halo Combat Evolved. It's that question of, can you go back? You know, will the tweaks to modernize the gameplay be enough?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, we'll talk about that more in depth next week. So yeah. They've sent that to us.
Yeah.
With all things said and done, probably the biggest game that I've seen, and we haven't put this up on the site yet.
Yeah.
Is a game that was released last week in overseas.
Yep.
So you can only actually get it on import if you buy it from overseas and bring it in, which means you can only really play it at the moment in Australia on your PlayStation.
Yep.
That's Rocksmith.
Oh, yes. Now, I've heard great things about Rocksmith.
Well, we've got a guy here in the office who actually bought it. I had a look at it the other day.
Yeah.
And it literally is a game and a guitar stereo plug that goes from your guitar into a USB cable.
Yeah.
And it works a treat. He was telling me all about it today. It actually picks up the frequency of your guitar as you're playing it, so it knows exactly where your fingers are.
Yeah.
And it says, well, no, you need to move your fingers left. No, move it right. You know, bring it up, bring it down, strum it, and it plays. It teaches you, it has exercises, but then actually teaches you how to play the music.
Yeah.
And then, so what it is if you can imagine Rock Band or Guitar Hero, but actually teaching you how to play the guitar. So at the end of your thing, if you're playing a song that you're really good on, you know, Guitar Hero, literally you'll be able to play that song without the computer going. You'll be able to get out your guitar, play the tune, and you know, there it is.
Yeah.
And the beauty is if you go, you know, if you're not very good or you're just learning or what have you, it will slow it down for you so you hit the streets. Like, it knows what it's doing.
It's more an educational thing than a straight-up game, isn't it?
Well, no, it's a game. It's a straight-up game that teaches you how to play.
Yeah, but it's not like it doesn't have, you know, like Guitar Hero, if you start playing badly, it just goes, oh, you're failing.
Yeah. No.
You know, its primary thing is to help teach you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. In the guise of a game.
Yeah.
One of the other things that Guy was saying, who has the copy of Rocksmith.
Yeah.
He was saying he was using a semi-acoustic guitar.
Right.
And he found it a bit hard because it was playing through the TV as an acoustic sound.
Right.
But then he was also hearing his own stuff, and it was weird. He said the best thing to do is to plug into an electric guitar.
Yeah.
And then it plays like an amp.
Yeah.
So your sound system plays your music, and you're sitting there and you're actually playing guitar.
And it doesn't the amp in the game actually scales to the song that you're playing. So it will set the amp and the effects and so on and so forth for your guitar to sound right for the song that you're playing.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you need to, you know, change any of the chord, or I'm not a guitar player, but you know, when you tune it, you tune the guitar, you can loosen or tighten the little ruts, is it called?
I mean, actually, I don't know. And I do play guitar.
Yeah. But it says if you need to loosen it, it'll actually tune it. So, okay, loosen this one. Yep, that's how we want to do it for this song.
Yeah, yeah.
And then off you go.
It's pretty good.
So, look, Rocksmith, I think, is going to be one of those things that is revolutionary. And that's actually from Ubisoft. So,
yeah.
So look out for it. I would say it'd be coming out pretty soon. We need to talk to them and find out when it's coming out. But certainly, if you've got a PlayStation, you can use it.
Otherwise, maybe look for a UK import. Hopefully, it's been released there.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
So that's it for games from my side. How about you?
Oh, look, there's some other news, but I'm kind of keen to get into movies. The one thing I did want to mention just very quickly, DC Universe Online is now free to play. Obviously, nobody was playing it, and so they said, well, come and play it for free. I don't know if it's actually going to turn anyone around on it. I've never played it because it was PS3 and it was a PC only.
I had no reason why. I had no understanding why it was a subscription game. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Well, that's good to know.
It's free to play online now.
We got a copy. We can jump on and do it.
Yeah.
So movie-wise.
Yes.
I've got to tell you, I went and saw In Time last week.
Yes. How'd you go?
The worst movie I've seen in a long time.
Really?
It was terrible. It was stank.
Yeah, right.
Geez. Don't fear me. It's just Justin. I did fear him.
Yeah.
I feared his acting.
Yep.
I feared the direction. I feared everything in that film. It was terrible. Great concept.
Yeah.
So poorly executed.
Bad execution. Yeah.
Oh, terrible. So In Time, it took time.
Yeah, right.
It took too much time what it should be called.
I'm wondering if Just Justin has the chops to actually carry a movie. I think he's quite a good supporting actor.
Yeah.
I think you put him in...
I've got no interest in seeing him ever again.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, right.
It was just stank.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was that's that. I still haven't seen Drive. I really desperate to see Drive.
Yep.
So that's the movie that I'm certainly aiming for this weekend to go and check out.
I went and checked out Midnight in Paris.
Oh yeah.
Last night, which is Woody Allen's new flick.
What time did you see it?
I saw it at 8:30.
It was like Midnight in Paris.
Yeah,
right?
It was almost Midnight in Paris. Owen Wilson and Rachel McAdams. In this film. I don't know if you know the premise of it. It's Owen Wilson basically plays Woody Allen.
How unusual.
He's a writer in Paris. He's holidaying there with his fiancée. He's a guy who's like a nostalgia vibe. He just believes that, you know, that he was born out of time and that, you know, he needs to be in the 1920s and stuff like that. And mild spoiler here, it's in the trailer. Midnight strikes, he's out on his own in Paris, and a car from the 1920s pulls up and he runs off into the 1920s and meets a whole bunch of novelists like F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway and stuff like that. It's a fantastic film. Like, I really love the film. I think you've got to... If you don't like Woody Allen films, then don't go and see it, because this is just another Woody Allen film.
I really enjoy Woody Allen films. He surprises me, as a director. He's done a couple of movies. Like, I think Match Point was one of his, which really surprised me how good that was. I mean, very dark and very twisted. But, you know, I'm a big fan of a lot of Woody's work, so I will certainly be checking that out.
He's quite a versatile director, and there's some great performances. The guy that plays Ernest Hemingway is fantastic. Adrian Brody plays Salvador Dali, which is amazing. Like, a very, very good film. I highly recommend it. But, it's not your sort of action.
It's a bit of arty, a bit of high class here.
Yeah, sorry.
I've
got a little highbrow.
Yeah, what's going on?
I'll bring it down in a second.
Well, I'll bring it down right now. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark is the big movie that's been released this week.
Yes.
It looks kind of fun. It's got Katie Holmes in it.
Oh, that's damning with faint praise.
Yeah. It's got it's got Jack Thompson in it.
Does it?
Ah!
Oh, star of Jack Thompson's funniest home videos. that's a pitch I'm working on.
Nice, I like it. I don't know if he breaks out into any poetry halfway through the film, but anyway. So I think it comes from the Guillermo del Toro's sort of production company, doesn't it?
Does it? I know very little about it.
Yeah, I think it's just like a horror, you know, who's in the closet sort of thing. Little monsters under the bed. I think it looks like a bit of fun. Didn't do gangbusters at the States.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to go and see Drive this weekend. So I think that's the movie that, and you know, obviously Warrior is I think one of the best films of the year.
Yep.
So if you haven't seen Warrior, go check that out.
I'll be checking that out. And this coming Thursday, Moneyball opens, which will be...
Meh.
What are you giving me, meh?
I'm giving you meh.
Really?
It's made like $12 at the US box office, and they're the ones who are saying it's the movie of the year.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, that's what happens with great movies in the US. It tends to die.
What do you mean? Transformers 3 was awesome!
And I rest my case. I tell you what, you tweeted about this. I jumped online and had a look at it. 21 Jump Street movie.
Right.
With Channing Tatum, I believe, and Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
My favourite Jonah Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
My initial knee-jerk reaction was, I think people from our generation really need to stop rehashing our youth and trying to convince kids that we're relevant. Because the fact of the matter is, kids today watch Glee and we have lost that war.
But, you know, yeah, and that's a war. I'm so sad we lost. Yeah. The thing is, 21 Jump Street was a very serious show.
Yeah.
It wasn't a comedy. And so they've gone all Starsky and Hutch on
it.
And it's like, you know, I mean, it looks fun.
It does look fun.
It looks fun.
And
I'm gonna go enjoy it. I'm going to see it. But it's certainly not 21 Jump Street.
Yeah. Well, they went to the old church. That was definitely there. Yeah. I think the thing is, Jonah Hill is fast becoming my Stinky Pants Ratner. I constantly go and see films and I'm let down by him. But then I see another trailer and I'm like, oh Jonah, I'll go and see another of your films.
Seth Rogen used to be.
Yeah.
Fat.
Yeah. But he's not fat in this one.
He's kind of chubby.
It's kind of weird because the first thing you see of him in the trailer is the other guy going, "Hey, not so Slim Shady," and it, you know, flashes back to when he was pretending he was Eminem in high school.
Right.
And I was kind of like, well, he's lost a lot of weight. Don't be playing up the fat gags.
No, well, yeah. I mean, he's a character actor.
He is.
You got to play out the fat gags.
Yeah,
like
You
know, it's like the chick who was in Dirty Dancing.
Was that
Jennifer Grey?
Yeah, I don't know.
And back in the day, but she got a nose job.
Yes.
She used to have that hooked nose, right?
Yeah.
She got a nose job, never worked again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Play to your strengths.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill, you're the fat guy.
Yeah.
You're the fat, funny guy.
You're saying nobody puts baby in a movie.
Nobody puts baby in a movie. Nobody, but Jonah Hill is...
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't go slim. You're a fatty.
And you go slim and nobody thinks you're funny anymore.
That was the thing. Seth Rogen suddenly turned up in Green Hornet with abs and everybody went, oh, okay, you're actually not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, although, you know, I actually really enjoyed Green Hornet.
Yeah. Yeah, but fat was kind of his thing.
It was.
Another trailer I watched. This may have been out for a while. I only saw it this week, though.
Transformers 2. Yeah, it's been
Transformers
out for a while.
2, yeah. No, Todd Phillips, you know, director of
Project X.
A lot of things. Yeah, Project X. Saw the trailer for that. Looks great.
Yeah. It's a party of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it?
I think it does.
Cloverfield
meets
Animal House. Is that what we're going to call it? Destruction movie.
That's not bad. I think that's all right. I mean, Todd Phillips for me, he's... I have a lot of faith in him. He can make a good movie.
He can.
You know, by and large. Even when people are pants in his movies, like with The Hangover 2, I still really enjoy his movies.
Yeah, Hangover 1 and 2 were probably... I'm surprised that neither of them won an Academy Award. I think they're absolutely genius. And
don't night at the museum it.
It's, look, if only he made that movie.
Yeah.
You know? And and maybe he and Brett Ratner could get together and do a movie.
Don't be...
Do
it
like
do
Beverly Hills Cop 4. All together,
put Todd Phillips in the same space as Stinky Pants.
That'd be so
great. What the hell are you talking about?
Todd Phillips gave me The Hangover.
Yeah, great film.
Horrible.
No, great film. Really?
Hangover 2, terrible. First one was all right.
Yeah, see, hang on, no, just a moment ago, you said The Hangover was horrible.
Well,
are you being hyperbolic?
I'm telling you this very quickly. I think The Hangover was probably the most rated, overrated movie.
Really?
I thought what was clever about that was they had the funniest gag during the end credits. So everybody pissed themselves laughing as they walked out the cinema.
Yeah.
That was, I thought, was genius.
Yeah.
But I thought the movie was okay. I didn't think it was bad. Oh,
With you more. I thought it was a great film. And I've watched it several times. I think it is a great film.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly not Hangover 2.
The Hangover 2 just followed on the formula. I liked what they did with it. It wasn't great, but it was good enough.
You're a fan of Police Academy 6, aren't you?
No, I'm not. You can't try and undersell me on this. Todd Phillips is actually a very good director.
He's all right. Well, we'll have that chat next week because I think it's covered up to that time.
Yeah, we got about 5 minutes to go here, and I do need to quickly talk about. I did check out the new X-Men anime, which is coming, I think, from the same studio that did Afro Samurai.
Oh yeah.
Checked out the first couple of episodes.
Any good?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. It's written by Warren Ellis, who is a well-known comic writer. He's just written the story, but not the script. The characters are well done. The character designs aren't that great, and they're a little bit inconsistent. You know, Wolverine keeps going from enormously fat to tall and skinny. His character, there's no consistency in his character design.
You're right.
But his character itself is pretty good. The voice acting is not great. It's very much X-Men anime. If you like anime, this is a perfect thing of it. I'm starting to get a little tired of anime, to be honest. You know, the scripting is never great. You know, the dialogue is never great with it. Obviously, because it's being translated by, the lowest bidder. I don't know that it's incredible. I'll keep watching it, but I can't say that it is the greatest show or the greatest cartoon going. In fact, I'd recommend Young Justice over... over the X-Men anime. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, check it out if you're if you're interested in that sort of thing. Tim clearly isn't, and he makes no bones of showing it. That's going to do it for this episode of the Game On TV podcast. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to gameontv.oz@gmail.com. That's gameontv.oz@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and keep checking back on the website for updates and reviews. Until next time, you've been listening to the Game On TV podcast. I am Jason.
And I'm Todd Phillips Pants.
I'll see you online.
That was the Game On TV podcast on gameontv.com.au. We hope you had fun.